by class and not be under your feet.
They won't be under my feet. I'm teaching all day, plus some additional tuition, which means they'd be on their own from 8 till 6. Then you can take over.
You're missing the point, Claire.
Am I?
We're getting married in 6 months. 6 months next Saturday. It's about time.
We cohabited.
Put it baldly, yes.
You know my feelings. I'd rather wait.
I know your feelings, but simply don't understand them. For 3 years, you lived with a married man you knew very little about, so what's wrong with going to bed with me?
Mark, darling, I'd rather wait. Get it right this time.
On Saturday, just 4 days later, on my way to Worcester, I saw him waiting to cross the road, standing so close to the curb that my wing mirror must have touched him. Alan Bridgman, looking into the sun, screwing up his eyes as he'd always done, didn't see me. By his side, with her hand on his arm, was a grey-haired woman, and Alan was carrying a basket, totally out of character. Unfortunately, I couldn't stop, not immediately. The car behind me was too close. It was at least a mile before I could turn and crawl back into Broadway's main street, only to see them driving off in a yellow Volkswagen. For 2 years I'd been searching for Alan Bridgman, and an idiot driver had stymied me.
Claire, you in?
Yes, of course I am. In the kitchen.
How was the trip to Worcester?
Okay.
Just okay?
The spaghetti's nearly ready. Pour me a drink, please.
Martini?
Yes.
Worcester looked as beautiful as ever?
Yes.
Here you are.
Thanks. Turn it off for?
What is the matter?
Mark, I saw him.
It's not possible.
I saw him waiting to cross the road.
Where, for God's sake?
In Broadway, in the main street.
Hallucinations.
No, he wasn't alone.
That figures. You may have been mistaken. Why on earth didn't you speak to him? Settle it once and for all.
Too late. He drove off in a yellow Volkswagen.
Do you remember the number?
It was covered in mud.
Think.
Could have been TKQ.
And the number?
313-308-383. That was it. 383.
Good. That's all I need.
What are you going to do?
I thought you'd laid this particular ghost, but now I'm going to find the bastard. Then perhaps we'll know where we stand.
But you can't.
Claire, for the last 6 months you haven't thought of him. You haven't looked for him, you haven't mentioned him. I have, and it's never seemed to upset you. In 6 months, we get married.
Married.
From his point of view, the affair was over. Finished. Done.
But this flat...
He paid his debts. The flat is yours.
You didn't know him. He wouldn't have vanished just to save himself an explanation.
Claire, for heaven's sake, face it. He has a wife somewhere. Anyway, greengrocers aren't the stuff heroes or agents are made of.
Rubbish. Alec Rose was a greengrocer. He had the guts to sail around the world single-handed.
I doubt whether even he would have gleaned much intelligence serving in a corner shop.
Alan had a chain of shops and managers in each.
So whenever did he find the time for the intelligence bit? The training?
He was in Germany in the mid-50s doing his military service.
Imagination. Why didn't you go to the police when he vanished?
I don't know.
Were you scared? A married man with marital responsibility.
Stop it, Mark. Leave me alone.
That's exactly what I'm going to do.
What do you mean?
I'm going to see Reynolds in the morning and ask for 3 months unpaid leave. I'm going to find that bugger, if he's alive. Then he can do some explaining.
Mark's departure caused me sleepless nights. He didn't answer the phone. He'd left no forwarding address at the office. I still half expected him to return. But on the last day of term, something happened which really scared me. I decided to call on John Maynard, Mark's closest friend, who worked at Scotland Yard, the drug squad, I think, but lived in a semi-detached in Balham.
Clara! Oh, lovely surprise. Oh, don't stand on ceremony. Come on in.
Thank you. Is it convenient?
Yes, of course it is. I just got the kids off to bed, and Mary's out, doing her A-level classes. Come into the sitting room. Would you like a drink? I'm afraid I've only got beer or cider.
Nothing for me, thanks.
If you're sure. Well, sit down. You can find room anywhere.
John, I need help.
Yes, I can see that.
Something happened this morning.
Go on.
My car's at the garage being serviced, which meant going to school by bus.
Mm-hmm.
I just settled on the top deck when I saw a car belonging to an old friend of mine. A friend I haven't seen for years. So I jumped off the bus, hared back to the flat. And there, outside the flat, was the car.
Hmm. So what did you do?
It seemed too good to be true. So I had a look inside. It looked too clean and impersonal. No packets of Piccadilly strewn around. No Swan Vespas. Then I looked at the number. TXQ303M. It was different, and yet near enough. Then I realized he had to be in the flat.
Do you mean this friend had a key?
Yes. Although he hasn't used it for over 2 years. I ran up the stairs, unlocked the door, and rushed into the sitting room. It was a familiar smell. Cigarette smoke. I went into the empty bedroom. Then there was a slight click. Someone had opened the front door and closed it again. I was too late.
Was there anything missing?
No, not that I could see. But why had he come back? It scares me. I've asked the caretaker to change the lock.
Claire, why are you so frightened?
This friend of mine, that Mark is trying to find, is quite ruthless.
Ruthless? Look, I really can't see Mark doing anything stupid. Hmm? So why don't you just relax?
But Mark's trying to find him.
Yes. Yes, I know.
How do you know? Has he been here?
No. No, he lunched with me yesterday at the yard.
The car? Did you trace the car?
Well, it was difficult because he wasn't too sure of the number. He fed our computer with variations on a theme and came up with a list of 27 possibilities.
Where's the list?
It's in my office.
Could I see it tomorrow?
No. Oh, no. You're more than my job's worth.
It's a long list, isn't it?
Hmm. Where are you going first?
Glebe House, Hammerton under the Hedges, Essex. Sounds pretty rural.
Who's the owner?
Albert Thomas.
I have contacts at the station at Burnham. It's only 12 miles from Hammerton.
There's no need for the police to get mixed up in this. It's personal.
I'd rather...
If Mark contacts you again, tell him I've changed the lock. Keys are with the caretaker.
I'd not told John. Albert Thomas was a familiar name. Alan had often spoken of him, almost with affection, but never once mentioned where he lived. That day, I drove down to Hammerton under the Hedges. As I passed the Dying Duck, I wondered why I was now hunting for two men, one who wanted me and one who didn't. But no sign of Glebe House. It should have been near the church, attractive with its brooch spire. I decided to have a breather and look at the interior.
Oh, hello there.
Oh, hello.
That lectern looks superb.
Yeah, a brass eagle with a wicked beak and evil eye.
Are you the cleaner?
No, I'm the vicar.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, no need to be. The ladies don't have the necessary elbow when it comes to cleaning brass eagles.
Could you tell me where Glebe House is?
Oh, yes. Difficult to find, but not far. I'll finish the bird off later and show you the way now. Are you looking for Mr. Bridgman?
No. Well, yes, but Mr. Thomas will do.
Well, that's good. Bridgman's never there. Bert looks after the business.
Business?
Yes, the lilies of the field.
Lilies of the field? You've lost me.
Well, orchids in his case. A prosperous business. Let's go down this path. What's so funny?
It's Epitaph.
Oh, yes.
Old Ma Rendell now is dead. She died from falling on her head. How much better it would be if she'd fallen on her knee. That's lovely.
Ah, many a true word written in jest. She never went to church, so she never knelt down. Now, you go straight down there. That's Forkett Lane. Past the post office and turn right. Are they expecting you?
No.
They don't have many visitors these days.
Thanks for your help.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
Yes?
Good morning. Is Mr. Bridgman in?
No, he's not.
You'd better see my husband.
Would that be Mr. Thomas?
Yes. He's in the hothouse. He's at the back. I'll fetch him. He won't be a moment.
Thank you. That's very kind.
You'd better come in and wait in the study.
Thank you. I waited. There was a large photograph of a young man, the spitting image of Alan. So he'd had children. On the desk was a Fodor's Guide to Holland and a letter addressed to Mr. A. Bridgman. I picked it up. It was an account from the Tristram Shandy Club in Pall Mall. I don't know why, intuition it must have been, but I picked up a small black address book and stuffed it in my handbag, only just in time.
My wife said you were looking for Mr. Bridgman.
Yes, it's urgent, Mr. Thomas.
I'm sorry, but I can't really help. Mr. Bridgman's out of the country. Could be gone 9 months or a year. Never know when to expect him.
When did he go?
Recently.
How recently, Mr. Thomas?
Can't remember the exact day.
When he left, was he driving your Volkswagen?
No, it's in the garage.
His own car, then?
I'm afraid that's his business, miss. You'll have to ask him.
The matter is urgent, Mr. Thomas. Isn't there any way you can help?
Not that I can think of.
Well, I'm sorry to have wasted your time. You may get another visitor, a friend of mine, Mark Saunders. If he shows up, will you tell him to contact me immediately?
Yes, Miss Dawson, with pleasure. Goodbye.
Goodbye. I got back into the car. Yes, Miss Dawson. How did he know my name? I'd not been asked for it, nor had I given it. I left Glebe House, driving slowly through the village. A thatcher was doing a repair job on the roof of the Dying Duck. On the spur of the moment, I decided to spend the night there. George Pearson, the landlord, a pleasant man in his mid-50s, asked me to sign the visitor's book. Just before signing, I glanced at the previous entry. Mark Saunders, 28th of April. He was 2 days ahead of me. I changed my mind about staying and returned to London. During the evening, I read and reread the address book I'd stolen, or at least borrowed, from Glebe House. Alan had never sailed. So why was Leap and Reach Sailing Club and its members so carefully noted?
Hello, hello, is that you, Mark?
No, I'm sorry, dear, it's John here.
Oh.
I just rang to see how you're getting on.
I haven't found Mark, if that's what you mean. He's streets ahead of me.
That doesn't surprise me.
He stayed at the Dying Duck in Hamilton 2 nights ago.
Have you found out where Bridgman is?
According to Albert Thomas, he's abroad.
Oh, yes, the owner of the Volkswagen.
The VW's now in the garage at Glebe House, so Alan must be using his own car.
That's the end of that little goose chase.
John, would you check the number of Alan's car for me?
Yeah, I'll give it a whirl. I'll come back to you.
After another sleepless night, I made a plan of action. At 9 o'clock, I made 2 telephone calls. One to my hairdresser for a 10:15 appointment, and the second to the Tristram Shandy Club.
Tristram Shandy Club, good morning.
Good morning. This is the Stock Exchange, Bannister, Bannister and True. I'm trying to get in touch with one of your members, a Mr. Alan Bridgman. He's expected to be with you today.
I'm sorry, madam. Mr. Bridgman was here last week, but I don't think we'll be seeing him for a couple of months.
Oh, dear. That's a pity. Because I've done something rather stupid.
Oh, I'm sorry about that, madam.
Mr. Bridgman wrote to us from Glebe House regarding an urgent matter, a business matter. He asked us to forward details to another address, which, if my memory serves correctly, is in Hampshire. But I've mislaid the letter, so I'm in lumber.
Don't worry, madam. Hang on a minute. I'm sure we can help you. The address is here, madam. It's Forest Edge, East Boulder.
Thank you. You are most kind.
You're welcome.
On my way there, I decided to drop in unannounced on my sister Sylvia. She and her husband Dennis live in Epsom, near the racecourse.
Hello, Sylvia.
Good God, Claire, what have you done to your hair?
My hairdresser had a heyday this morning.
But why on earth dye it? It looks ghastly. I wouldn't have recognised you.
Good. That's what it's all about.
Come in and have a cup of tea.
Even your makeup's darker.
Yes.
You haven't a map of the New Forest, have you?
Yes, I'm sure we have. It's one of Dennis's favourite places.
You haven't just come for the map, have you?
No.
I've come to swap cars.
My old bedbug for your posh car.
Do you mind?
Of course not. When do you want it?
Now.
That goes.
For about 10 days, I would think.
You'll have a copper?
No, thanks. I want to get to Guildford before the shops close. I'm going to buy some clothes and sailing gear.
Sailing? You haven't told me yet why you dyed your hair.
I need to do some research, incognito.
Good as a disguise, but horrible.
Oh, and one more thing.
Yes?
Could you ring Emery Down Hotel and book me in for the night? Come in.
Your breakfast, madam.
Oh.
Hot rolls, honey, coffee, and the Times.
Thank you.
Anything else, madam?
Would it be possible to have a few sandwiches and that thermos filled with coffee?
Of course, madam.
Could you tell me how to get to Leap and Reach?
Yes. I think the shortest, though not the quickest route...
Before going to the sailing club, I decided to stop off at Alan's cottage. Stupid to suppose he'd be there, but you never knew your luck. From Emery Down, I took the Lyndhurst Road to Bewley and found Forest Edge quite easily, tucked away on the edge of the heath. Eventually, I plucked up the courage to walk up to the front door.
There's no one there, ma'am.
Oh, God! You startled me.
You'll have a job seen through that window. Needs a bit of a clean, doesn't it?
Certainly does. I think I've come to the wrong house.
Who'd you want, miss?
Mr. Bridgman.
Well, all these letters are for him. Mind you, all the time I've been delivering here, I've never set eyes on him.
There must be quite a pile, then.
No, there's not. He must come home sometimes.
How long has he been living here?
About 3 months, I guess. Not his house, though. He rents it. That's why the garden's overgrown.
He rode off, whistling cheerfully. Frustrated, I returned the bedbug and drove to Leap and Reach. The club was an extraordinary building, resembling a great Mississippi paddle steamer. There were a lot of people at the buffet bar. Hoping not to be asked if I was a member, I ordered pie and chips, then crept into an unobtrusive corner.
Excuse me. Would you mind if I shared your table?
Of course not.
Busy this week. Probably because we're hotting up for the Amsterdam trip.
Amsterdam? Oh, yes. I suppose you're right. Are you going?
Of course.
On your own boat, I suppose?
Oh, no, on Father's. As Commodore, he's responsible for 80 small boats. So he decided he needed another pair of hands.
An expensive undertaking, I should think.
Oh, no. That's the joy of it. It's all paid for by the Dutch.
Yeah.
Reception when we arrive, plus concerts and canal trips.
What time will you be leaving?
We'll be at Kalschutzbit at 2 a.m. to see the first flotilla away. He's arranged for the motor-propelled craft to leave last, and the slow sailors first.
I see. Is Alan Bridgman going?
No, but he's lent his boat to Jack Strange.
Generous.
He's like that.
Wonder why he's not going.
He's away on business. Oddly enough, in Amsterdam.
Hello, Jonathan. There's the Commodore.
Oh, hello, Erica. Said to tell you that he'd be down this afternoon.
I turned and looked across the room into the hard, pale blue eyes of a well-groomed woman in her early 60s. I was getting warm. I'd seen her before. In Broadway, her hand on Alan's arm, getting into a yellow Volkswagen with him, laughing. I was so shaken, I sat there trembling.
Hello there. You're new, aren't you?
Yes. I'm not a member.
Let me introduce myself. I'm Erica Morrison, the club secretary. And you are...
I'm Claire Dawson. Though I'm always called Maggie. My second name is Margaret.
Jonathan, get me a drink. There's a good fellow.
Of course. What will you have?
Oh, just a lager.
Miss Dawson, would you care?
Oh, no, thanks.
You say you're a prospective member?
Yes, but one without experience.
That doesn't take long if you're intelligent.
You give me confidence. Actually, I thought there would be a long waiting list.
There is. Of unsuitable people.
I take it you're offering me membership.
Yes. You look like one of us. I'll fix the sponsorship.
Thanks. That's very kind.
Where are you living?
In a motel at the moment, while I look around.
Oh, you poor thing. Look, we're having a small get-together at my place tomorrow night. Just drinks and a light snack. 7-ish.
Thanks. Where is your place?
You can't miss it. We're opposite the church. Our garden runs down to the beach. Do join us.
There was something odd about her. She didn't sound like the usual hand-knitted hunting-shooting type. But her party was a must. I returned to the motel reception for my key.
John, what are you doing here?
Good God.
What's the matter? Has something happened to Mark?
I didn't recognize you, Claire.
How did you find me?
I phoned your sister.
Have you heard from Mark?
Not directly, no.
What does that mean?
Well, I phoned his father in Devon. Mark had phoned him to cancel their visit or something.
Yes, they were going to the V&A. So where's Mark?
He's here, in the New Forest, for 2 or 3 days.
You've come down especially to tell me that?
No, I'm down here for a couple of days on business. And I thought dinner with you would be a pleasant way of wiring away a couple of hours. Why don't we discuss Mark over coffee?
That was lovely, John. Thank you.
Coffee, sir?
Oh, yes, please. And 2 Armagnacs. You don't smoke, do you?
No.
Do you mind if I do?
No, of course not.
A light, sir?
Thank you. You asked me for Bridgman's car number.
Yes.
Yes, it's KUH704W at 4 Nescourt.
That doesn't sound like him. A bit ancient.
Anonymous, would you say? Not the sort of car to leave an imprint on the memory.
But why?
Well, that's for you to answer, isn't it? It's about time you came clean.
What do you mean?
Why are both you and Mark down here? Quite obviously, you've both picked up the same clue.
I don't see how he could.
Why won't you let me help,
it's
Claire?
It's personal, John, personal. Are you staying the night?
No. No, I have to be at headquarters in Southampton.
Rather late in the day?
We are like the windmill. We never close. Claire, just one last word. You're on to something, and you intend going it alone. Take my advice, love. Don't.
John went. I'd told him nothing about my changing cars, nothing about Leap and Reach, nothing about the address book. The address book. Had Mark also waited in the study at Glebe House and browsed through it? It was the only answer. The following day, Wednesday, the day of Erica's party, I took a look at the church. Its simplicity was stunning. I was standing in the shadow of the pulpit when a heftily built man entered, 6'3", with shoulders like Atlas. He didn't see me. Ducking his head, he went through an archway into the bell tower. I heard him climbing the stairs. Shortly afterwards, the west door opened again, and a young man entered.
Hello there.
Hello.
Enjoying the peace?
For half an hour or so, before going to a party.
Erica's, of course.
Yes.
I'm Jeremy Kendall Taylor, the local God-botherer. They just call me Padre around here.
Hello, Padre. I'm Maggie Dawson.
Pleased to meet you. I'm afraid we've...
Kiss me.
The church. Erica's having some more printed. But I can tell you anything you want to know.
Oh, hello, Padre.
Hello, Henry.
Just been checking up before I lock up.
Don't give it another thought. When I've finished showing this young lady around, I'll do the deed.
Okay. See you later.
See these tombs over here?
With the effigies on top, yes.
Don't you think that this ornamentation on the side of the tombs looks as if it was done yesterday?
Celtic crosses. They're immaculate.
Yes. Now, there's one more thing you must see.
What's that?
It's in the grounds. A rare treasure. I'll just lock this door. He goes on this ledge.
That's not well hidden.
I don't know why we bother. There's nothing to hide. Even the candlesticks are plate. Right. Let's go up through this door. What do you think of this?
What on earth is it?
A watchbox.
What's it for?
Used in the 18th century to house a guard to prevent a body snatcher. They were normally made of wood. But this one, being of stone, has lasted.
Looks as if it's still useful.
Yes. It's handy for garden implements.
Somebody makes good use of them. Who's the topiarist?
Henry. He can turn his hand to anything.
Just look at that sky. It's glorious.
Red sky at night. Shepherd's delight. But we haven't time to enjoy it. We'd better be making our way to Erica's.
Hello, Padre. Didn't expect to see you here.
Why not? Jonathan, let me introduce Maggie Dawson.
We've met. Hello, Maggie.
Hello again.
Do you still want a free ride to Amsterdam, Padre?
Rather.
Jack Strange has lost a member of his crew with appendicitis. I told him you were probably available.
Glad you could make it, Maggie.
Hello.
Hello, Jonathan.
Hello.
Hello, Padre.
Hello, Erica.
Forgive me, gentlemen. I'm going to break things up. I want Maggie to meet Philip.
It's your party.
Philip, meet Maggie. Look after her. She hasn't got a drink.
Hello, Maggie.
Hello.
Pleased to meet you. Gosh, your hands are quite cold. You certainly need something to warm you up. What's it to be?
Martini and soda, please.
Ice?
No, thanks.
Erica tells me that you're a prospective member.
Yes. It does feel rather like my first day at school.
As a pupil or as a teacher?
Does it stick out that much?
I'm right, am I not?
You are.
What subject?
Fine art.
We all weigh each other up. You classified me while I poured a drink. And what conclusions?
Regular army. Probably retired with the rank of colonel.
9.5 out of 10. I retired with the rank of major. Now I must find some company for you. Henry. Henry. This is Maggie. She doesn't know anyone here. Introduce her to Sissy.
Yeah, okay, boss.
And when she capsizes, wade in and do a rescue operation.
Sissy, Philip would like you to meet Maggie. Now look after her, she's new.
Be delighted. Hello, my dear.
Hello.
Do sit down.
Thanks.
Attractive, isn't he, in a brutish sort of way.
Who, Philip?
No, Henry. Gorgeous places. But you tell me where a retired army major gets this sort of money. Nephew of mine met him in Germany when he hadn't 2 pennies to rub together, and always late paying his mess bills. In fact, there was quite a chamoiseau. But shortly after that, Philip met Erika and married her. He's never been short of the ready since.
Oh, she's German.
They married in Berlin in 57 or 58 and stayed there until he retired in 64 when they bought this vicarage.
Must have cost a bomb.
No, it isn't. Virtually derelict. They spent thousands, as you can see. The boathouse alone cost a small fortune.
Save the mooring fees, I suppose. It's much more convenient.
It needs to be. They're always going off on holidays to the continent. They run a McWester and an MTB, which Philip uses just for deep sea fishing.
And where does Henry live?
Mary's little lamb. Oh, he manages in the luxury stable block.
Why Mary's little lamb?
Everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go. Erica's shadow. Mind you, he's useful. Keeps the churchyard looking trim and acts as the fabric steward.
You two ladies seem to be enjoying yourselves. Another drink.
Thanks, Henry. The usual.
Mine's a dry martini without ice.
All right, give me your glasses.
What did Erica do before she married?
Well, some say she was a nurse. Others say a PT instructor. It's also rumored that she helped East Germans to escape by driving them through the checkpoint in her car.
Don't believe a word she says, Miss Dawson. It's all scandal.
Hello, Jonathan. You're a nice one to talk to. You always know exactly what's going on.
But I have to. That's my job.
He's the social secretary for the club.
You're wanted at the bar, Jonathan.
Oh, nice to be wanted.
One whiskey, one martini.
Thank you. Haven't watered it, have you, Henry?
No, Sissy. I know better than that.
Henry, can you find the commodore?
We're still in the boathouse. I'll get him.
There goes Mary's little lamb.
I'm surprised that Alan Bridgman isn't here.
Oh, I don't think he's a close friend of the Morrisons. He plays bridge with them at the club occasionally. Goes abroad a lot. I think he's in Amsterdam next week when the rally's on.
What does he do?
Buyer for big fruit importers. Tomatoes from Holland, figs from Turkey, peaches from... He makes no secret of it.
Excuse me, Sissy. I want to drag Maggie in.
Oh. Maggie, why don't you drop in and have tea with me one day? I'm at Rose Cottage.
Thank you.
We'll finish our conversation in the tea.
I thought you'd had enough.
I wouldn't have missed it for the world.
Yes. She's got a sharp tongue. We're going to the small sitting room for a breather.
Oh, there you are. I've left Jonathan on the bar.
I thought he was cut.
He was, but he's got his second wind now. Do sit down, Maggie.
Thank you. You've heard all about the rally, I expect.
Yes, I have. Jonathan put me in the picture.
We have a problem. It's only just cropped up. Philip has business commitments and won't be going next Tuesday. That leaves two of us to man the boat, Henry and me.
That's no problem, dear. You've managed before.
Yes, but not comfortably. Henry had a brainwave.
Oh, yes?
Why don't we take Maggie?
Me? But I'd be no good.
Can you cook?
Yes.
And there's no problem. You can provide the extra hands we need. You will, won't you?
It was an invitation I couldn't refuse. On Friday, well hidden in bedbug, I kept watch on Alan's cottage. The postman called twice, but no Alan. By Saturday, I'd made up my mind to break in. A sharp tap with a spanner, and then my gloved hand through the hole. In a few seconds, the window was open. Child's play. I found nothing. I was looking out of the front bedroom window when a dark blue Audi drove up and Erica got out.
You stay there, Philip. I'll pick up the post.
There was nowhere to hide. I removed the key from the inside of the back bedroom door and replaced it on the outside. After that, I opened the window and hid behind the door. I'd seen the trick work in an old film. Pimpernel Smith, I think it was.
Philip, come here a moment.
What's the matter?
There's been a break-in.
Is the post still here?
Yes.
The one from Turkey?
Yes.
Then why worry?
You'd better look round and secure the place.
They came through the kitchen window.
Of course they did. Otherwise it would have been smashed. We'd better look upstairs.
Nothing's been touched in here. Check the back room.
Nothing to touch, is there?
The window is open.
How did it happen? They're locked in. Quick, Philip.
I rushed straight back to Bedbug and hit the road. Why did Erica have a key to Alan's cottage? Why did she collect his mail? Delivering it to Amsterdam, perhaps. Now I thought I had a real lead. That night, I attended the rally briefing.
Jonathan, bring a pointer. Anything will do.
Okay.
I'll stand by the charts and point out the landmarks as we go on. Now then, folks, let's have a bit of heart. First of all, we call my catch not the committee boat as in races, but the Commodore's boat. Got that? There are different coloured pennants for each flotilla. Each one will be numbered. Do you all know your numbers and colours? Every crew member must have a life jacket. That goes for you, Padre, as well, even if you have got God on your side. Don't let me down. Use them. The responsibility for all the gear, navigation lights, compasses, flares, inflatable dinghies, etc., will be left to the skipper of each boat. In other words, it may be a rally, but treat it like a race. Jonathan has charts for each leader. Each one gives rendezvous times. Clubs from Lymington rendezvous half a mile south of the East Leap buoy. If you stick closely to your guidelines, 80 small craft will sail into Amsterdam line ahead, proudly displaying their red ensigns and courtesy flags.
Hello?
Claire, it's John. Have you heard from Mark?
No.
Ah, he rang me on Saturday morning.
Thank God. Where is he?
He's at the Master Carpenter's house in Buckler's Hard. I gave him your number.
Thanks. Oh, damn, that won't be any good. I'm leaving before lunch.
Leaving?
On second thoughts, I'll slip over this morning. I must see him before I go. I owe him that.
Where are you going?
Sailing. John, if I don't see Mark today, will you be sure and tell him that I miss him a lot? But I must get this bug out of my system for both our sakes.
Bug?
He'll know what I mean.
Can you make it tomorrow?
No. I'm going to Amsterdam.
You're what?
On a rally. 80 boats are going.
Can I help you, madam?
I hope so. I'm looking for Mr. Saunders. Do you know if he's in?
No, madam. He's out at the moment.
Have you any idea when he'll be back?
Not the slightest, I'm afraid. We haven't seen him since Saturday.
What time did he leave?
Well, I'm sorry, madam, but I really can't.
I'm his fiancée, and I'm very worried about him.
Well, he left after dinner on Saturday, about 9, I think, but I've no idea whether he's fishing or sailing.
I see. When he returns, would you mind telling him that I called in?
With pleasure, madam. Your name, please.
I returned to the club for a snack before dossing down for a few hours in bedbug.
We've been looking everywhere for you, Maggie.
We thought you might like to sleep on the boat tonight. Getting up at 3:30 isn't very pleasant.
That's a thoughtful offer, Henry. I was going to doss down in my old car.
You'll find the boat far more comfortable than a car. You'll be on your own for a couple of hours. Not afraid, are you?
Of course not.
Telephone call for Miss Dawson.
Yeah, that'll be Erica.
Hello?
Claire, it's John.
How the hell did you find me here?
Oh, it wasn't difficult.
What's the matter? It's Mark, isn't it?
No. Claire, where are you staying in Amsterdam?
On the boat.
Why?
To save expense. Most people are, anyway.
How would you like to stay with some friends of mine? Good friends. Home comforts, baths.
It's a bit of an imposition, isn't it? A bit cheeky?
Oh, no, not at all. They love speaking English, and in any case, they owe me.
In that case, the answer's yes.
Good. I'll give you the address. It's 200 Reustelstraat, and the telephone's 22-3-4. Helder and Dirk Moyman.
200 Reustelstraat, telephone 22-3-4. Helder and Dirk Moyman.
That's right. They love the English. You'll get thoroughly spoiled. I'll let you get back.
John, don't ring off.
Huh?
Mark wasn't at the hotel. Hasn't been since Saturday.
Well, don't give it another thought. I'll see him tomorrow.
Right, give me a case.
Car.
Step aboard.
What's she called?
Clytemnestra.
Oh, dear. Not a nice lady. Didn't she murder her husband and his mistress?
Don't know. You'd better ask Erica.
It's getting quite misty.
Nothing to worry about. It'll have cleared by the early hours.
Now, down here.
What's that boat there?
An old MTB. Ex-war stock. Phillips clay thing.
And, what kind of boat is this?
A McWester 31. Catch.
Bigger than I imagine.
Careful now. Duck your head.
Oh.
That's it. Well, this is the galley. The tea's there. Books in the fridge. Oh, make yourself at home.
Marvellous. It's so good fat. I won't mind cooking here. It'll be fun.
The loo's there, and your cabin's through here. Mind your head.
No door.
You'll find the canvas curtain nearly as good. Will you excuse me? I have a lot to do before we leave.
Oh, yes, I'll be okay. Thank you.
Henry left me feeling slightly apprehensive. Tucked up in the sleeping bag, I thought about the Morrisons. A gut feeling told me they weren't what they seemed. I fell asleep, thinking about Erica and Henry.
Good morning, Maggie. Good morning, Erica. My God, what's the time?
8 o'clock. You can certainly sleep. Here, bring this.
Thanks.
We're underway. We have been since 4.
You should have called me earlier. What about breakfast?
Don't worry. Take your time. We'll have it about 9. The mist has cleared.
Erica, come and give me a hand.
Coming.
Erica, Henry, dinner's ready.
Okay, we're just coming.
I'll leave her on auto.
Oh, it smells good.
Chicken risotto. That do you?
We'll wash it down with shrapnel. Here, Henry, you open it.
All right.
1982, it should be good.
I couldn't find a cheese grater, so I chopped it as fine as possible.
We've never had a cheese grater. Neither have we had a good cook on board before.
We managed with a tin opener.
However, I'll try and remember to buy one in Amsterdam.
Oh, cheers.
Cheers.
That risotto was marvelous. Must ask you again. Oh, I forgot to say, Maggie, you're quite welcome to stay on board.
You mean in Amsterdam?
Yes.
Well, thanks for the offer, but I have friends there.
Yeah? Where?
Near the center, Reustelstraat.
Yeah, are they on the phone?
Yes.
Don't forget to leave the number with us.
Are you staying on board?
No, we're not.
We'll probably stay at the hotel.
Which one?
Oh, not too sure. At the moment, somewhere in the center, of course. We're still thinking about it.
Oh, would you mind very much if I turned in early? The sea air is making me sleepy.
Of course not. Leave the washing up. It can be done in the morning.
Turning in early was only an excuse to be on my own. I stood for a while looking at my bed. I was quite sure that my book had been moved. I'd left it facing down on top of my nightdress. Now it was the right way up. I opened my case. Someone had been at that, too. I'd only left my handbag. But there was nothing there to give me away. Thank God I'd left the address book stowed away safely in the boot of Bedbug. There was nothing to connect me with Alan. I lay down with my ear hard against the wooden edge of the bunk. Slowly, some of the muttered conversation became clear.
No need to worry. Maggie sleeps like the proverbial lock.
It wasn't easy. Didn't know him from Adam. The tool shed came in handy.
Fortunately, the visibility was low. Had he been inside?
No. We tried both the doors. We daren't take the risk.
We're probably hypersensitive. Could have been after the silver.
Should have let him take it, I suppose.
He'd have had a nasty shock. Only place. You're positive she didn't hear the MTB go out?
No, she was out like a light.
His idea. Exactly what he needs.
They're all waving Union Jacks. What a welcome.
Thousands of them. Listen, going all the way into Amsterdam.
The Dutch really like the Brits.
See that warehouse over there?
The one covered with Dutch and British flags?
Yes, it's been transformed inside. There'll be a fabulous buffet set out.
And if I know the Dutch, the bowls and brandy will be flowing like water.
Erica was right. The Entente Cordiale was wonderful. But by 6 o'clock, I think we'd all had enough. I was just in time to see Erica leaving with Mary's little lamb not far behind.
Erica! Erica?
Yes, what is it, Maggie?
Are you going by taxi?
Yes.
Would you mind dropping me off at Royston-Strasse?
Wouldn't it be better if you managed to get yourself...
Of course we could drop you. Taxi! Taxi!
Royston-Strasse. Then the Amstel. No, that's wrong. Royston-Strasse, then the Port Van Cleef Hotel.
You'll find a Dutch breakfast quite filling, Claire. Not like your English bacon and eggs, though.
I never eat a cooked breakfast. Just coffee and toast or rolls.
Do try the milk. It's good. So is the cheese.
Don't force it on a Helda.
I'm loving it. The hot bread smells good, and I love the cheese.
I'll take it.
Coffee? Oh, yes, please.
Yes,
black
coffee.
Or white? White. Sugar? No, thank you.
Do you want
a Helda?
Yes,
what does Dirk do?
I thought you knew.
John didn't tell me.
You'd better call me later today.
The same sort of work as John.
Yeah. You mean he's on the drug squad here?
Dirk, how long have we known John?
Well, we met in Paris in 72 at one of the many Interpol get-togethers.
Get-togethers? Your English is very good. You don't need any practice.
Oh, thank you.
And has he asked you to keep an eye on me?
In a way. Yes. Well, only to make sure that you enjoy your stay. Well, Helda will show you around. Now, if you excuse me, as the English would say, business before pleasure.
Dirk, there's no need for Helda to show me round. This is our only free day, and I'd like to potter.
Potter?
To wander as the mood takes me.
Well, then, that is what you like to do. You must do it. But I've taken the liberty of booking a table at the Hong Kong for 8 o'clock. Now, does that suit you?
Yes, that's fine. I'll meet you there.
It's in Van Thomasstraat and easy to find. Well, Helda will explain. Now, I must hurry, huh?
I'm sorry, Helda, if the change of plans has upset your day.
No, of course it hasn't.
For years, I've been explaining to schoolchildren that we must thank the Dutch for secular painting.
Secular?
Yes, paintings to decorate the home.
Ah.
After a little shopping, I'm making a pilgrimage to the Rijksmuseum to see what I've been nattering about all these years.
Yes, I understand that. Would you like another cup of coffee, Claire?
The Rijksmuseum wasn't my only interest. Erica's slip of the tongue in the taxi had given me an idea. The Amstel, she said. Could Alan be staying there? After all, they had some mail to deliver.
Not wanting to be recognized by Erica or Henry, I bought a large blue headscarf and lightweight dark blue mac. It was a pleasant walk to the Amstel Hotel.
Good morning.
A good morning, madam.
I believe Mr. Bridgman is staying here.
Yes, he is. Would you like me to ring his room?
Yes. Yes, I think I would.
Three, There's no reply.
Oh, dear. And I've come such a long way.
I know he'll be in this evening because he's having a small dinner party in his suite. Would you like to leave a message?
No, thank you. I'll drop in this evening. What time is the party?
7:15.
Are there any public phones here?
Through that door and on the right.
Thank you.
Port von Klopfer Hotel.
Mrs. Morrison, please.
One moment. Zimmer 31.
Erica, Maggie here. Sorry to disturb you. It's just that I'd like to know whether there are any spare tickets for the concert tomorrow night. I'd like to bring my friends.
Who's the Commodore has a ticket, why not ask him?
I would, but I don't know where to contact him.
On his boat, of course.
Oh, that's very simple. Thanks a lot. See you.
I bought a paper, the Handelsblatt, and within a few minutes was seated in a cafe opposite Erica's hotel, hiding behind it. A couple of tables away, I noticed a sad-looking Jew who'd also been at the Amstel. Obviously retired and nothing better to do. Three cups of coffee later, Henry and Erica appeared, and in a couple of seconds had merged into the crowd. I followed through the city of 1,001 bridges. Suddenly they vanished. I couldn't believe it. They'd walked straight into the Hong Kong. Then I spent a boring half hour before they emerged looking for all the world like tourists. Henry carrying two KLM grips and Erica an Aer Lingus. What, I wondered, had they been collecting? I followed them at a discreet distance into Alan's hotel.
Amstel Hotel? Ja, meneer? Ja, voor één nacht. Zeker, meneer. Your name, alstublieft? Klein.
Can I help you, madam?
My name is Morrison. Mrs. Morrison. Mr. Bridgman is...
Ah, yes. Mr. Bridgman is expecting you. Room 312. Lift is over there on your right.
Thank you.
You should have stayed here. It would have been much more convenient.
Too dangerous. We had to register.
I don't know why you worry.
Experience, Henry. Alan is right when he says, never leave anything to chance.
I waited a few minutes before following them up to the third floor. When I reached 312, I could hear their voices reasonably clearly. The dinner party was on. Abutting room 312 was a loo, for my purposes, perfect. It was a warm night, and the windows next door were open. For the first time in 2 years, I heard Alan laugh. I felt sick.
It's all too easy.
That's what I said.
So, you dumped it all in the boat, did you?
Yes. It's behind Fennel's, to the side of Maggie's bunk.
Who's Maggie?
Oh, Walkie. Never a sense of the word. She's a good cook. I'll say that for her.
If the customs come on board, she's so patently honest, innocent, they'll not bother.
That isn't such a good idea. Suppose she cottons on.
She won't. If she does, we'll dispose of the problem.
I hope you don't mean that literally.
Of course he doesn't. We're not fools.
How's the market?
We're clear well over a million.
Things are going to get more difficult. At the summit in Bonn this week, the 13 heads of state agreed to take concerted action over the drug trade.
Politicians' promises.
Just talk. They had to come away with an agreement on something. Otherwise, they'd have had egg on their faces.
Helder, Dirk, sorry I'm late. Couldn't get a taxi.
That's all right. Are you hungry?
Yes.
In that case, we'll have a Reichstafel.
What's that?
Well, John always says if you have an evening and a half to spare, then a Reichstafel's the answer.
There will be at least 20 dishes of highly spiced food and a large dish of rice.
I'll never be hungry again. I've eaten so much, too much, in fact. Oh. Who owns this restaurant?
An Indonesian family.
And do you come here often?
Oh, occasionally I meet people here. There are several small rooms upstairs which they hire out.
For meetings or for meals?
Oh, both.
Why do you ask?
Idle curiosity, that's all.
You'd like some coffee, wouldn't you?
I think we ought to go home for coffee.
But it wouldn't make any difference, we have.
Neither. Let's go home. Claire, will you have your coffee black or white?
Black, please, and no sugar.
You're quite comfortable, aren't you?
Dirk, you can't keep putting it off.
No. No, I can't. Claire, John phoned this morning.
I thought he did. What did he want?
It's bad news, I'm afraid.
Mark, something's happened to Mark, is that it?
Yes, yes, I'm afraid so.
What's happened?
His body was washed ashore at Key Haven.
He can't have drowned. He was a superb swimmer. Why didn't John tell me this morning?
The body hadn't been identified. John went down to make sure.
To make sure? I told John that Mark hadn't been back to the hotel. I had a feeling then...
He realizes that, and he blames himself for not checking sooner.
He's not to blame. I am. If I'd kept my mouth shut, Mark would still be alive, and we would... Oh, God. Mark couldn't have drowned. I know he couldn't. What happened?
John wants a little more time.
To do what?
To make inquiries. It wasn't an ordinary drowning. He was murdered.
Oh.
Sometime between late Saturday night and Tuesday. When the body's been in the water, it's not easy to tell.
Murdered? But... How was he killed?
Struck on the back of the head.
Mark. Oh, Mark. What have I done? I must fly back immediately.
The coroner has asked for an inquest in 10 days to give the police time to search for more evidence.
You mean there's no funeral till after the inquest?
Yeah, yes, that's right.
But I'd still like to go back to be with Mark's parents.
John desperately wants you to stay put. He's quite sure you'll be at risk if you don't return as planned.
Mark's parents will expect me.
John's been down to see them. They're being looked after.
I don't believe this is happening.
Claire... Before you leave us, I need to know what you've been doing today.
Dirk, not now, please.
For our own safety. Yeah. Now, Claire, you must tell me.
Dirk, give me time. I can't think straight.
What you need and what I'm going to give you is a hot drink and a couple of aspirins. No more questions, Dirk.
Despite the hot drink and aspirins, I couldn't sleep. All I could see was Mark's face. Pleased with me when I'd served an ace. Smiling at me always when we met. Laughing when I'd burned an omelette. And finally his anger when I'd told him about Alan. Who'd killed him? Not Alan. He was here in Amsterdam. But I knew that in some way he was involved. I called at his hotel to face the bastard. But discovered he'd left for Istanbul.
It's a beautiful evening. What a brilliant sunset.
A cure, Erica?
Brandy, please.
I'd rather have Campari, please, and no coffee.
You can truly taste like a duck pond.
Where are the others?
Somewhere astern. We've lost them.
But I thought the Commodore said we had to stay together.
He did. But I had words with him before we left. He'll not worry too much about us.
Here are the coffees and drinks. Oh, well, take the tray, will you, Maggie?
Okay.
I'll get the outboard going.
What time do we get back?
With luck and good winds, we expect to be in Lip and reach soon after lunch tomorrow.
It's good brandy. Sure you won't change your mind, Maggie?
No, thanks. I prefer Campari.
The Campari had a strange taste, rather like cough mixture. Perhaps it was the curry we'd just eaten. It can do odd things to the palate. Another sip. It was ghastly. While Erica was adjusting the jib and Henry stargazing, I fed my Campari to the fishes. 10 minutes later, I turned in and looked at the panelling alongside the bunk. I wondered what they'd dumped behind it. Whatever it was well hidden. I closed my eyes and pretended to sleep. Their murmurings became clearer.
We should be inside of the Leap buoy at about 6.
Only if the weather holds.
You're sure the girl will sleep?
There was enough in that Campari to keep a herd of elephants down. If the customs come aboard, we'll say she's not well.
And take her case out. Let them look. It'll all seem so normal.
Good idea of yours to bring her along.
Alan doesn't think so.
The rally and the girl give us beautiful cover. Still, we can't afford to cross him.
He should be back by now. He will have paid Ahmed.
There's one thing I can't fathom.
Oh?
Why doesn't he ask more questions about what we're doing?
Simple. He's a professional. That's Philip.
Four. I've made good time.
Seen anything of the customs?
No, nothing. They're like for a shut eye on Sunday.
Henry, let's get to bed.
Is the girl asleep?
Out for the count.
Good. Hold the torch while I remove the panel. That's it. One bag. Two. Three.
I'll take some up to Philip. You put the panel back.
Three bags. Although I hadn't opened my eyes, I could see those bags. The KLM and Aer Lingus grips that Erica and Henry had collected from the Hong Kong. I wondered what Philip's part of the action was and what the bags contained. The week that followed was a week to forget. We arrived back at the clubhouse soon after two, and by 1:30, I was on my way to Sylvia's in bedbug.
Claire, you look absolutely ghastly.
Do I? Not much sleep.
All this business about Mark, I suppose.
How the hell do you know?
In last week's Guardian, there was a short piece about a body being washed ashore at Keyhaven. On Friday, the man was named. Why haven't you seen the papers?
I've been abroad.
In bedbug?
No. I went to Amsterdam in a small boat.
I wish you'd told me you were going. At least I could have explained to Mrs. Saunders. She was in a terrible state.
Did Mr. Saunders have to identify the body?
Yes. Then he collapsed and had to be treated for shock.
The cremation took place in South London. I cried. Not for myself, but for Mark and for Mark's parents. They'd been a happy-go-lucky middle-aged couple. Now they were old, so old, and sad. I asked them if they'd like to stay the night, but a friend had brought them up from Devon the day before and was taking them straight back home. There was no way I could bring myself to speak to John or Mary or any other of Mark's friends who were there. Guilty, I felt, and sorry. But that doesn't bring anyone back. I went home alone.
Where's Mary?
She went straight home. Children coming home from school.
Come into the kitchen. Would you like coffee or maybe something stronger?
No, thank you. I'm not stopping. I wanted to speak to you after the funeral. To say how sorry I was, but you'd gone.
I couldn't stand it.
No, nor I. Made a mockery of everything. Better to go without all those empty words.
Just music, perhaps. For Mark, it would have been Mozart. He would have liked that.
The night before you left, you slept aboard the Clytemnestra, didn't you?
Yes.
Was it berthed next to the MTB?
Yes.
Did you hear anything during the night?
Not a thing.
Ah. How did you enjoy your stay with Dirk and Helder?
They're lovely people, most hospitable.
Mm.
You should have told me about his job.
Yes, perhaps I should. But I knew you'd be in safe hands. Claire, isn't it about time you realized that you are hunting for a man who doesn't want to be found?
That's exactly what Mark said. But it's my business, not yours.
Since Mark's death, It's become very much my business.
Mark was murdered in England when Alan was in Holland.
All right, Bridgman had nothing directly to do with the murder. But we do need to get closer to his friends. You're not helping us.
Us? You and Dirk. Both drug squad. My God, drug smuggling. Is that what it's all about?
Could be.
Well, I'll tell you something. Alan Bridgman would never get mixed up in drugs. On that, I'd stake my life.
I'll never know why I returned to Hammerton. Wandering round the graveyard to have another look at old Ma Rendell's epitaph, I found it. Not her epitaph, but a small marble stone inscribed in black, "There's a place somewhere." And underneath, "Richard Bridgman, May the 12th, 1965, to April the 4th, 1983. April the 4th, the day that Alan left me."
Hello there. Can't keep away then, eh?
No. I came back to have another look at old Ma Rendell's tomb and found this.
Yeah, it's a sad business.
How did he die?
An accident.
Car accident?
No, a massive injection of heroin after he'd been on a drinking binge.
Where did it happen?
Here, in the village.
His parents, where were they?
Well, his mother died when he was 3, and his father was nearly always away on business. Edie and Bert Thomas took over as parents. They doted on the boy. But why, I have wondered many times, did a privileged boy need drugs? Who can tell? On your last visit here, weren't you looking for Mr. Bridgman?
Yes. Poor Alan.
Yes, poor Alan. The whole village mourned for him. George Pearson was very good. Took him out fishing. Understood the problem because his wife died in a mental home. The result of morphia actually given in hospital. They became very close. In fact, Mr. Bridgman had never spent so much time in the village. He even went sailing every morning at Burnham.
How long was he here?
Oh, several months. And then went away again for weeks at a time.
At last, I was beginning to understand why Alan had disappeared so abruptly. Thinking about him and about Erica, I decided to retrace my steps back to Broadway. Then a brainwave.
Sylvia?
Claire, hello.
Syl, do you remember I told you about seeing Alan in Broadway?
Yes.
Well, I've decided to take a close look at the antique shops.
Why?
I just have a feeling.
Oh, Claire, not again.
Yes, I have to.
Are you there now?
No, I'm in Hammerton. It'll take me about 4 hours to get to Broadway. I wondered whether you'd care to join me.
Today?
Yes.
You've caught me on the hop, rather, as usual.
Well, if you can't make it, never mind.
It's not impossible, I suppose. Dennis and the girls can cope. I could leave a note. Yes, okay, I'll join you. Where?
Thanks. At the Ligon Arms, about 1:30. Oh, that's better. Salmon sandwiches and coffee are great revivers. I'm not looking forward to the drive back.
I shouldn't have dragged you here.
It's certainly good to get away from the house for a few hours. Now, come on, let's see your list.
Here.
Oh, you've only got 8 shops down here.
Just the really big ones. The barman was a great help.
Well, why don't we start at the top of the list with Ladderback Antiques?
Why not? It's fairly close to where I saw Alan and Erica.
Good day, ladies. 18th century on this floor and 19th upstairs.
It's a fascinating place. You don't seem very busy.
Americans always seem to have very long lunch hours. By 3:30, the place will be crowded.
Do you mind if we browse around upstairs?
All yours, madam. Make yourselves at home.
Thank you. Oh, Sir, look at those gorgeous beams. All those little rooms and corridors full of stuff.
Buildings older than the furniture.
You can say that again. That Davenport would do me nicely. My price, £800.
Yeah, in that case, I'll have 2.
What about this chiffonier?
Yeah, it's not bad.
There's a room marked private. Keep a lookout while I'm in there and keep talking.
Okay. Claire, what do you think about that corner cupboard? Too big, do you think? That shelf's
chaise longue is about the right size, but I don't really like the colour.
I'm afraid it's the only one we have, madam.
Oh, what a shame. Do you do a lot of business with America?
80% of our trade is with the States.
Well, I have a brother over there. Now, how could I get that little Davenport to him?
We have a clearing agency in New York. We do all the paperwork. The customer has no problem.
Would you let me have it, say, for 700?
Are you trade?
No.
Then not really, madam. We can sell Davenports like hotcakes. In fact, it's a giveaway at 800. Wasn't there another lady with you?
Yes, I'm here. I'm afraid I've no bearing bump whatsoever. Is this the way out?
The stairs are the only way up, and quite obviously, madam, the only way down.
Perhaps I'd better ring my brother to see whether he's willing to pay 800.
Perhaps you'd better.
Gosh, my feet ache. Well, we've now been in all eight.
The first one. I'm sure it was the first one.
Mm-hmm.
The book seemed clear enough. Name of the holding company in New York, description of the article, and price paid. It was almost too meticulous.
He was extremely annoyed when he saw you coming out of that room.
He certainly was.
What are you going to do now?
Stay at your place tonight and drive down to Leap tomorrow early in the morning.
Do you want Bedbug again?
No, I'll park mine in a side street. It's a bit faster than yours in an emergency.
Okay, let's get going.
Hello, Sissy.
Hello there, Maggie.
You haven't given up the idea, then?
Idea of what?
Failing.
Oh, no, I'm still quite keen.
You've chosen the wrong day. If it's Erica and Philip you're looking for, they won't be here till tomorrow. Don't play bridge, do you?
No, why?
We're having a friendly tomorrow night between ourselves.
Who's playing?
Jonathan and his dad, Philip, Erica, Henry, Jack Strange and me, we're one short.
Doesn't the Padre play?
Doug, but he's a lousy player, so we don't ask him. Where are you staying?
At the motel, as usual. They know me. Same room, too.
Sylvia, what on earth are you doing here?
I wasn't happy at the thought of you on your own. Now, what's all this? Black jumper, black trousers, black shoes. Now, what are you up to?
I'll not be so noticeable in black.
You look like a cat burglar.
I must be in the church by 6 o'clock.
Whatever for?
Because Henry will lock up before they all go down to play bridge. I won't have another opportunity like this.
Battery, torch, bananas, sandwiches, a thermos, a paperback?
I could be there all night.
What do you hope to find?
I don't know, but the answer to everything is in the church.
That's what you said about the antique shop.
Don't try and put me off. I'll hide in the pulpit, read until the church is locked, and then search every inch.
Why is the answer in the church?
Because it's where Mark was killed.
How do you know? Or is it guesswork again?
I'm an idiot. It wasn't till yesterday that a conversation I heard on the boat registered. Henry said, didn't know him from Adam. The tool shed came in handy. Erica then muttered something about the silver being plate.
Silver?
The altar candlesticks.
And the tool shed?
That's the watchbox.
Oh.
His body was hidden there until the early hours of the day we all left on the rally. I must have been asleep on the Clytemnestra when they took Mark's body out to sea in the MTB. John asked me whether the MTB had gone out that night. That was another idea that hadn't struck me. I'll never make a Miss Marple.
Oh, I don't know. You seem to be putting the pieces together. But why the hell you don't leave it to John is beyond me.
I'm in too far now. Besides, I owe Mark.
Well, I wouldn't spend a night in a cold, ghostly church for all the tea in China.
Do something for me, will you?
What?
Go home now, but ring the motel at 10 in the morning. If I'm not back, get in touch with John.
Okay. But take care. I know you. You always jump in at the deep end.
The pulpit first, I think. Now, I'd better unload. Torch, coffee, chocolate, book. Now then, a few hassocks from the choir stalls. Now, let's try them for comfort. Hmm, not bad,
not bad.
bad at all. The Other Side of Silence. A good title. Now, Ted Albury, you keep me amused for a while. Make of this. Looks like a large fuse box. No fuses. Just two switches, a key, and two small lights. One red, one green. Green one's on. Good God, it's a burglar alarm. They must have something to hide. Anything under the altar? Oh, dusty altar cloth. Nothing. Nothing. Now for the vestry. Already.
Gently, Tazzy. Now, close it and lock it. The tombs are over there. Get the torch lower.
Yeah, okay.
This one's got a gent with a dog on top. Doesn't seem to be anything there.
Try the sides.
Haven't been open for centuries.
Must be the other one.
And you know what we'll find?
What? A heap of bones.
Nothing moves, but there's no dust anywhere. Funny that. Yeah, I'll have another go.
Run the screwdriver around the crosses on the side.
Yeah, okay. Good Lord, half the side's on a swivel. Just look at that.
I was so amazed at seeing the entire side of the tomb swing open that I was too late sensing the movement behind me. Before I could do anything about it, I was pinioned in a vice-like grip by a man of great strength. I should have been afraid, but I wasn't. I knew the feel and the smell of the man holding me. I'd found Alan Bridgman.
You've lost weight, gal.
Take your hands off me.
What are you, sir? Bring a torch here, George. Keep it down. Now, let's have a look.
Christ, who's that?
A bit of company for us.
I told you once, take your hands off
Keep
me.
Keep your voice down, Claire. An old friend.
I've seen her somewhere. Very long ago, either.
I'll save you the mental strain. The dying duck, where you play the part of landlord.
My God, she knows far too much. What are we going to do now?
Nothing, nothing. Cool it. She's okay.
Oh, I'll bloody well hope so.
Let's see if we struck gold.
Oh, there's three bags. 2 KLM, 1 Aer Lingus.
Unzip them, George.
Just let go of me, will you?
Not until we leave.
Packets of the stuff, Guff. In kilos.
Worth over a million, I'd say.
And how do you know that?
You were never one for doing things in a small way.
Damn, they're back. Earlier than I expected. Shove the bags back inside and close the tube.
Right.
We'd better move fast. Claire, get to the door and wait.
I'll get my things first.
What things?
Thermos and sandwiches.
Oh, God,
be bad. We'll have coffee in the car.
You're out of luck. I've finished it.
Don't leave any tools behind.
I'll take up.
Come on, Claire.
Just replacing the hatters.
Where the hell are you going?
She's gone, and we'd better go after her.
No, keep the torch down. We'll find her later. We know where she is.
After leaving the church, I clambered up to the cliff top and ran back to the village. It took me a good 20 minutes. I fell into the car, a sanctuary after that awful church. Then the truth of the situation hit me. Here was a man I'd trusted. Here was a man who didn't even trust the crooks he worked with, who checked up on them, and worst of all, a man who was prepared to make capital out of the weakness of others. No wonder his son had been able to obtain drugs. I drove back to the motel, determined to tell John everything. On the way, I passed a fawn escort parked by a telephone kiosk. George Pearson was on the phone, but no sign of Alan. If I couldn't get John, I'd find Syl. Someone had to know what was going on.
Your driving has improved.
How did you get into the car?
George can manage any lock. A magician.
And what the hell are you doing here anyway?
That's exactly the question you're going to answer.
You're not my keeper any longer. Get lost.
Not until I know the answer. Now, let's go to your room. Your coffee's getting cold.
It can get cold. I'll have a brandy.
At least you sound the same. Do the Morrisons know you're here?
No. Sissy does, but I doubt whether she'd tell them.
Do they know the car?
No.
You weren't such a little innocent, were you?
Meaning?
You've become part of the setup. You kept watch for them.
What the hell are you talking about? I wouldn't do a thing for them. They're your friends. I don't throw dinner parties at the Amstel for scum. You do. Don't do that. You're hurting.
So, my friends are scum, are
they? Yes!
Prove it. Heroin in the church doesn't mean they put it there.
Of course they did.
Okay. Where did they get it from?
The Hong Kong.
And you helped them?
No.
Then how do you know?
I followed them. They came out carrying the bags.
The bags you saw tonight?
Yes.
Who organizes the supply?
You do. On your trips to Istanbul, you do. You had Mark murdered. You are responsible, you. Then I passed out. I was vaguely aware of being lifted onto the bed. I awoke the next morning to find Alan had packed my things. We had a quick breakfast and left for London soon after 8. I knew Syl would ring at 10, which meant that John would be alerted before we reached London.
I'll be increasingly
tense. Look at that hawk up there.
Keep your eyes on the road, my love.
News has just reached us that in the early hours of this morning, the drug squad coordinated raids in the quiet village of Leap and Reach and uncovered a cache of heroin valued at over £1 million. They also surrounded the old vicarage opposite the church, presently occupied by Major and Mrs. Morrison.
Good God!
Major Morrison and one other man were detained, but the police have been unable to ascertain the whereabouts of Mrs. Morrison, who is wanted for questioning. At the same time, the drug squad, assisted by the Worcestershire Constabulary, raided the premises of an antique firm in Broadway, trading under the name of Ladderback Antiques.
Hewitt?
Two more men have been detained.
Well, I'm damned. Philip and Henry, but no Erica.
It's a pity you know too much.
No, Alan, the pity is that I don't know enough. Why haven't you and George Pearson been picked up? Oh, my God, of course! George Pearson in the telephone box. You set it up for the police.
Let's leave the confessional for when we get back.
Oh, no, we don't. I knew there was something odd about that antique shop. They ship the stuff to America. Hidden in antiques. Hollow Queen Anne legs. Brass oil lamps with hollow bases.
That's about it, girl. Well, your flat hasn't changed.
No. It's only you who's changed. When you broke in here 3 weeks ago, what were you looking for?
An old book of mine.
They're all in the bookcase.
This one isn't. Commercial Glasshouse Crops, Volume 2.
Oh, that. It's under the sofa.
Why?
One of the casters came off. He's doing a propping up job. There you are. What are you looking for?
This flimsy bit of paper.
It's just a list of names.
27 years old.
So why do you want it now?
All it is a list of guys I worked with in the intelligence section in Berlin during my stint in the army. Last year, I had a couple of tip-offs about drug runners and followed them up. When I found that the Morrisons had been in Berlin in the 50s and 60s, I suddenly remembered this list and decided to use the old boy network.
And you found that the mess funds had been misappropriated by a certain major, though there was no proof. And shortly afterwards, the major married a German and never looked back.
That's about it. Now, suppose you tell me what you were doing down in the New Forest.
Searching for Mark, and I wanted to sail, so I joined a sailing club.
And your fiancé gets murdered. Come on, Claire, you can do better than that.
What I was doing was my own affair.
Okay, okay, let's leave it for the moment.
Suppose I'd been working for the Morrisons, what would you have done?
I don't know. Except that one doesn't throw one's woman to the wolves.
Your ex, remember that. Your ex, who you walked out on with no goodbyes.
Had I told you anything about my plans, you'd have been at risk.
Oh, don't give me that. You haven't the guts to say...
I'm leaving.
Before you go, I'll tell you why you went, since you've never bothered to explain. Your son was bored, no mother, and a father hardly ever there, so he took to drugs. You could say he died of boredom.
The drug-taking started at school. Parties in the dormitory. Six of them were sent down.
You should have told me.
Maybe. But I thought Edie and Bert could cope. They'd always treated the boy as their own.
But you were wrong, weren't you? And after the funeral, you and George Pearson put it on a plate for the police, didn't you? Thought they couldn't do their job. People like John and Dirk are using you.
Who are they?
Drug squad. To them, you're expendable.
Claire, I'm leaving. George Pearson is right. He says human beings only go forward. They have no reverse gear. Goodbye.
Damn, damn, damn.
Hello, pal.
John, hello. Come in.
I thought I'd drop in on the off chance of getting hold of Alan.
You're out of luck. He's not here. What do you want him for? Are you going to introduce yourself at last?
You sound bitter.
For the past 2 or 3 weeks, I've had the distinct impression that you were gunning for him.
Oh, we have, to be sure.
He and George Pearson have given you plenty of leads in the past.
Yes.
So what was wrong this time?
Leads in the past could have been a subterfuge. To keep the heat off them while they masterminded a big haul.
So you intended to nail them?
Yes. Because everything pointed in that direction. Even Dirk thought we were on the right track.
So what have you come for? To apologize?
No, to warn you. Both of you. Erica Morrison's still in this country. Alan should be careful, and you ought to have protection.
From what?
From Erica, of course. Ask him to give me a call as soon as he gets in.
That's not possible.
Oh?
I won't be seeing him again. That evening was hell. So the next morning I drove straight to Glebe House, where I was in for another shock. Parked in front of the house was a dark blue Audi carrying trade plates. What a nerve. Only Erica would dare. Quickly I reversed and drove to the back door. Nobody about. The door opened easily and I crept into the hall. There was a murmur of voices from the study. Something felt wrong, but I couldn't put my finger on it. How did Erica know where to find Alan? And where were the Thomases? I moved cautiously towards the study and stood outside listening.
I'm glad we can laugh about it. So you think my chances are good?
You're playing your cards the right way. After all, an English jury wouldn't convict an innocent wife.
And the Jewish bit?
The jury would lap it up. Helping a Jewish professor to escape from East Germany would be a bonus. So, all you have to do now is walk voluntarily into a police station. There's one slight problem. The two men are going to be inside for anything up to 10 years. Henry, even longer if they get him on a murder rap.
What are you talking about?
Well, murdering Saunders wasn't a bright idea, was it?
How do you know it?
Never mind. The important thing is, will Henry and Philip keep their mouths shut?
Yes, otherwise there's no money when they come out.
Money's your answer to everything, isn't it? Now, how about a brandy?
Excellent idea.
There was another surprise in store. On a table in the hall was a photograph Alan had taken of me sitting on the bonnet of the car. No wonder Bert Thomas had recognized me. They'd settled down to their drinks, and through a mirror I could see Erica, but not Alan. He was obviously sitting in the chair by the window.
You'll miss Philip and Henry. Especially Henry, I imagine.
No, they were getting careless.
Weren't they also becoming an obstacle to your other interests?
Istanbul. Did Ahmed talk?
No. But this is important to both of us. Is Ahmed your main source?
The only source. Did he tell you about my...
He couldn't talk.
You mean...
He was murdered.
Murdered?
Yes.
It's unbelievable. He's so careful. An anchor man.
Was.
£100,000 down the drain.
No. I brought it back. It's quite safe.
Where?
Hidden at Forest Edge.
Oh, my God, you're cool. I always thought we could do business together.
What sort?
Same as before, but on a bigger scale. Our own laboratories in Corsica, and with overall control, the entire profit would be ours.
What would we do with it? How do you suggest we'd live it up?
My lifestyle wouldn't change much.
But your family and friends would improve theirs.
Family? Friends?
Your father. An ex-colonel in the SS, alive and well and living in South America. You look after him and his friends in Germany. Philip didn't care much for your friends.
My father hasn't any friends in Germany anymore.
I think he has. What are the neo-Nazis called these days? The 88 group?
What are you getting at?
Money. Money means power. More bombings, more kidnapping, the slaughter of innocent athletes.
You're crazy. I've helped Jews to escape, you know that.
Only if the price is right.
So?
You have a lot to answer for, Mrs. Morrison.
That's why you're mistaken.
Put that damn thing away. It won't solve anything.
Erica had a revolver in her hand, pointing at Alan. He didn't seem to be too worried, but I was. I did the only thing possible. I rushed into the room and grabbed her wrist. Alan made a move to rise, but dropped back into the chair as the gun went off. Moving towards him, I kicked it under the bookcase. Alan was strangely still. Erica then grabbed the uncorked bottle of brandy and lunged at me. The smell is the last thing I remember.
That was a good sleep.
Oh, hello, John.
Where should I put these?
Oh, thank you. They're lovely. Leave them there. Nurse will put them in water.
Yeah. How does your jaw feel?
Sore. But I'm told the scar will hardly show. John, tell me about Alan. Is he...
Still in one piece.
Oh. Oh, don't turn your head there. Nurse said you're to keep it still.
I'll move.
But Erica got you, didn't she?
There's a lot to be said for solid flesh.
Listen, I'm going to need your corroboration on the details given me by George Pearson.
But he wasn't there.
Fortunately, he was.
You rushed your fences as usual.
But she was going to kill you.
I doubt it. She was going to bargain. About £100,000 for starters. All I had to do was to keep her talking until George turned up.
How did he know?
As soon as Erica arrived, I sent Bert Needy round to the pub to take over, giving George 20 minutes. He walked into the study to find Erica on her hands and knees hunting for the gun.
She was in no position to argue.
He tied her up with an old-fashioned bell pull, then phoned the police for an ambulance, which brought us both here.
You mean you and John had set the whole thing up?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And now John has the entire conversation on tape.
Well, I'm damned.
In our planning, we hadn't reckoned with an unexpected intruder. And just one thing more. A little matter. My missing address book.
Oh, that. Still in my handbag.
Ah, and I was beginning to believe she was clairvoyant.
As soon as you're fit, miss, you're coming home. You need someone to keep an eye on you.
Maybe it's the other way round.
But first of all, I must know what happened in Istanbul.
Not in front of the boy. I'd hate to embarrass him. It'll keep. A bedtime story, perhaps?
Perhaps.
That was Campari for the Fishes by Teresa Collard. Claire Dawson was played by Elizabeth Bell. Her fiancé, Mark Saunders, Michael Ross. The Vicar, Gerard Green. Mrs. Thomas, Teresa Collard. Mr. Thomas, Crawford Logan. Sylvia, Carol Boyd. The Padre, David Marrick. Philip, George Parsons. Jonathan, Charles Whaley. Dirk and Helda, Peter Van Dissel and Nicolette Mackenzie, Sissy, Gwen Cheryl, Henry, Adrian Egan, Erica, Margot Van der Berg, and Alan Bridgman, John Golightly. Other parts were played by members of the cast.